The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Most of us have that one person in our mind when we approach this altar on All Saints Sunday. For some of us, it may be 2, 3, or 4 people. But no matter the number, as we begin the walk up the aisle to light a candle in their memory, our footsteps feel light and heavy all at the same time. Our footsteps feel light because joy and gratitude fills our hearts as we remember. And our footsteps feel heavy with the longing to have one more moment, one last conversation, one final hug goodbye. Deep down, the truth lies within us that we actually want so much more than just one more moment and one more hug. We want to see and feel the fullness of that person walking alongside us every moment of our lives. For we have needed and missed them on the big, exciting days of our lives, celebrating weddings and anniversaries, new home purchases, new jobs, retirements, and births of babies, grandbabies, nephews, and nieces. We needed them there to share in all that joy and celebration. And we needed them to celebrate the smaller things as well. A job well done for the day, a small act of kindness served, the fulfillment of our goal to do more service projects, the completion of a writing project or reading project long in the works, or the attempt after many years of desiring to finally pursue a dream of mastering a passion of ours, whether art, sport, or science. We needed them for the celebrating of such small victories. And of course, we have needed and missed them on those big, horrifying days of our lives as well. Days when we have felt our grief compounded by the loss of yet another loved one. Days when our homes went up in flames. Days when the babies came far too soon. Days when our job ended in failure and shame through a layoff, or even worse, a firing. Days when we or another loved one received startling and life-changing news and a diagnosis. and days when our marriages once so promising ended in painful separation and divorce. We have needed them in these big days to comfort and console us and give us wisdom for the journey forward. And we have needed them through the smaller trials of life as well, to give us the how-tos, right? The how to change a light fixture, or fix a plumbing problem, or sew a certain stitch, or make that famous family recipe. Or the how to give advice to a daughter or a son, a niece or a nephew. How to set a good example for all the children in our lives. How to be a good person to all we come across day in and day out. We have needed them. And at church and around God, we have needed them perhaps all the more. We have needed them to help us make sense of this loss. We've needed them to help us understand why they were taken from us, to come to terms with the fact that they are no longer here with us in the way that they once were. How did they still believe when times got hard? How did they still find faith in the midst of loss? How did they maintain hope in the midst of grief? How did they celebrate and mourn, holding joy and loss together in the same heartbeat? As life goes on, new people come into our lives that they will never meet. And in many ways, this is the hardest of things. We want to share with our loved one the new joy that has entered our lives, whether that's a spouse or a baby or a dear friend. We want this person to know the dear one that came before, that helped form us into who we are. And we try to explain what they were like, the virtue they held, the love that flowed out of them, the goodness that was bound up in who they were, their joy, their humor, their smile. But words fail us, and the deep longing for their return sets in. And in many ways, this is the hardest part. But on All Saints, on this festival day, we are reminded that in many ways, this is also the best part. For we here present on this day, we are the hinge. For All Saints Day is the day on which we realize that we are standing on sacred ground, each and every moment of our lives. For we are the bearers of their truth. We are the conveyors of their faith, and we are the prolongers of their love. And although the loved ones we meet, or that are too little now to remember, will never know that beloved person in the face-to-face way that we knew them in this lifetime, they can most definitely see them in us. They can know them through the stories that we share. But even more than the stories, they can know them through how we reveal their love for others, for how we reveal their zest for life, for how we reveal their abiding faith in a God of goodness, with quite a few how-tos we learned from them thrown in there along the way. Today, God offers us a place to celebrate them, to grieve them, and hopefully to find that hopefulness that sustains us, that same hope that our dear loved ones had. All Saints offers us a place to acknowledge and embrace the past in all its glory and in all its trials, in all its joy and in all its loss, a place to remember our loved ones. But it also offers us a place to look forward, to realize how we bear their lives, their gifts, their grace, and their faith with us into the future. And this is God's gift to us, and this is their gift to us. This is the legacy we have been charged with. What a noble and humble undertaking to seek to pass all this down to those who come after us, to pass on to them the same acknowledgement of the loss and the hurt, to pass on to them the same joy and celebration for all that's been given, to pass on to them the same faith and love that binds it all together and gets us through this crazy journey we call life. For the days are surely coming when hopefully we will be the ones remembered, when we will be the ones for whom a candle is lit, when we will be the ones who are mourned and celebrated. Today, though, we stand in the middle, embracing this cycle of death and life. At moments it's easier, and at moments it is harder. But together, we find comfort here in this place. This particular church, which has stood for 4 or 5 generations now, clinging to the promise that such partings are not the final word. And part of a larger church that has been clinging to that promise for a couple of millennia now. The ebbs and flows of life come and go. After death, new life arises. Surrounded by the dark, we see the flickering flame of a solitary candle. And as our vision expands, we see candle after candle after candle, all flickering in the breeze, but all holding fast, refusing to give up their light. Amen.